Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Mutakwa.
Good afternoon, moderator. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Well.
We are well, thank you. And thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I hope you are able to hear me.
Yes, now I'm able to hear you because I think when you were picking up the phone, the other guy was also audible. So now we can hear you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I think the strength of the internet is not very, can't cover a huge, huge parameter.
It doesn't go very far.
So it's just what.
Okay. No, it's fine. We'll try and tolerate it. We can hear him still, but we'll try and tolerate that. We can go ahead.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much. Now, we are continuing to talk about upholding Christian values under pressure. And the question really is, how does one live out Christian values in the workplace while achieving professional success? I mean, one's life as a Christian should make non-believers question their belief in God. And so if you're listening to us, these words are attributed to Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German Lutheran pastor who resisted narcissism. The Bible says, but even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as the Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. That's coming from 1 Peter 3, verse 14 to 15. Now, the implication behind this passage is that unbelievers should notice the lifestyle of a Christian. Pastor, how do our Christian values show up in the workspaces, particularly in secular environments?
Okay, thank you so much. Welcome, dear listeners. May I pray before we begin? Gracious Father, our Lord and our God in heaven, we thank you this afternoon yet for another opportunity. We pray that you may bless us with the power of the Holy Spirit to delve into this in a manner that will please you and that your name may be glorified. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, let me begin by reading scripture. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, this verse admonishes all of us to honor to God aspects of our work. We commit our actions, our ways, whatever we do, our faith, our influences, our decisions, our interactions, our goals. God must be reflected in whatever that we do. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, say, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. So meaning that by others, as they are demonstrate Christ's love in a way that resonates, even if they don't recognize it as such. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Consider how you can let your actions and values of your faith in your daily life, things like kindness, patience, integrity, and selfishness, these can reflect showing who Christ is. Now, whether in a workplace, where you go, you have to remember that you as a Christian, God has asked you to do whatever you do, wherever you are. The name of God must be the come out open. Remember also that you are the salt of the world. You are the light of the world. So in whatever place where you go, what you are to do is to reflect God there. Regardless of what circumstances, what situation It's there. When you get to Matthew chapter 5, when you read verse 13 to 20 there, the Bible talks about us being the salt of the world, and that when it loses its favor, well, what will be its use? We are the light of the world. We must know that because we are the light of the world, we must shine before men. The description of the Bible here is entailing a Christian who is in a world where there are challenges, who is in a workplace where it is hard and difficult to live, that be like light. Where there is darkness, you bring light, it will light where you have placed it. Where there is relish, you try to add some salt there or anything that requires salt. And so the taste will change regardless of what circumstance that is there, that what is there. So now, how do we show these Christian values up in the workplace? We must remember our children is God. Whether it is at school, whether it what, we do what God has asked us to do. Because the Bible also says, for in Christ Jesus, we can do everything. It may appear to be difficult, but because we are put to be a spectacle, we have to show these values. If we have voted Christ, there will be no problems. You have no difficulties in showing these values to those who are in the secular world. It will not be difficult. You will show them, because what has happened is that God lives with you time and again. I want to add a few more things before we come to the other. How to lead a Christian life in a secular place.
Yeah.
You have to be transparent because you are a child of God. You don't have to compromise. When you are leading in a secular, lead in love. All your speech must be marked with gentleness and respect. We can honor God even by obeying our employees, because at the end of the day, they'll start asking, where are you coming from? Which denomination are you? Which faith are you? Because of your behavior. Seek opportunities to be kind to all colleagues when you are in such a place. Remember to work for the Lord. Be the change you want to see. You want a good behavior in the company? Show the good behavior, you as an employee of that particular company. You want a good speech? Show how. So, again, I'm repeating, regardless of what circumstances, because you are a Christian, those values must be, you must bring them forth in the company where you are doing what you are doing. So, someone says the Christian professional organization play a significant role in leading by example, by setting a standard for us to follow. For example, a church. An NGO organization for the church. It plays a significant role because in it are found the values of Christianity. So other organizations, other entities that are also established, when they see that, they are bound to ask, where are you getting this from? They are bound to do what? To embody them, bring these characteristics in their own environment. So that they run their environment in a manner that is very respectful.
Yeah. Now, what are the pressures that we may face, I mean, in our workplaces that could challenge our values? And how can we stand firm in our convictions regardless of that particular pressure?
John chapter 15, verse 19 says, if you belong to the world, it would love you as one. As it is, you don't belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. Hello?
I can hear you.
Yeah, all right. Then John chapter 15, verse 19, the Bible says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His pleasing and perfect will. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and the pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is a fading is fading away. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 to 17. Here, when we to look at it from the paraphrasing point of view, we're saying the world is moderator.
What
I read for the old offers, not what that is coming from 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 to 17. Sorry about that. Now what you need to understand is this, is that because it has already been mentioned by God that you, because you have chosen the kingdom of heaven, you will belong to the world, but not of the world. That means you are going to face the pressures of this world. That means you are going to face the challenges in the working place. But now, because you want to introduce heaven, which others must know, what happens is that you have to live and face these challenges and live still the conviction of the world, regardless of this pressure coming by your side. What you do, whatever culture that will be created, because you are connected with God, what happens? You will be living the conviction of heaven. Some of the challenges that we face, even as we get into these convictions, are things like sometimes fear or rejection by other people. Maybe because you are becoming a stumbling block, and then people feel, no, they must reject you, can't be part of them. Then sometimes it's natural for ourselves, sometimes we have some doubts in our mind to question from time and time, is when your beliefs are challenged, am I on the right track? Is this the way I should live? Why should I be apart from the rest of the world? Sometimes you also face what we call external oppositions, where in some cases, standing by your convictions may invite external resistance. Sometimes criticism, ridicule, outright opposition, all these may come along, resilience and so forth. You face adversity. But at the end of the day, because you are a child of God, you understand when God says, live a life that is not like you are in the world, you will be able to go against these challenges. Things like loneliness. Sometimes, you may face all these because you seem to be the only one with that conviction. So then, because you know who your God is, because you are the light of the world, you are a town that is built in a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp or put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its where it stands. It gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, you will still remain shining, even when there are these commotions that come along. Those who want to use light, for example, a candle, wind may come to blow it off. But you know what you're going to do? You still get matches and switch it on again and bring it off. I mean, on again, so that you are able to see what you are going to do. So you need to develop courage, moderator. So that you know your voice. You need to self-awareness to developing your courage of conviction, because that is where the trouble is. Set boundaries where you are facing critical situations, where you are so clear to understand your values. Seek support from other-minded individuals, friends who are Christians. Share your faith with others. Take action also of your convictions. Don't just sit about it, but put your values into action. When there is a test, you are able to meet the test. Whether it's standing up for a cause, whether it's make a difficult decision, whether it's simply living in where you are put away by others because of your principle. Take consistent action and reinforce your action so that people can see that there is life in your convictions.
Now, you know, to be in such situations, Pastor, sometimes it's quite challenging. Why might God allow us to even be in such spaces? I mean, what's the purpose? I mean, for example, why allow Daniel and his friends to be captured and sent to pagan Babylon, for example?
Okay, can I find scripture here? Yes.
Okay.
1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4. Because I would like to support most of this by scripture. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 4 says, dear friends, Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. No. Trials and temptations are avoidable in life. You must be tested to find how strong you are. Even buildings that we build, they are challenged by what we call winds. If they are properly built, they stand the test of time. I remember even when flying, sometimes you hear they are announcing to say, the captain announces to say, we are entering an area where there are some
turbulences.
Some turbulences. Well, we'll still go through. Just keep your seat belt tightened. We will go through. It's very frightening. I recall my last flight from America to Addis Ababa. Hey, there was a certain point, it was so frightening. But because you know that you have confidence in what your pilot has said, you still go on. There are reasons why God brings such things. Reason number one, this is to glorify God.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not all about you. Remember, when things come like this, it's not only about you. Just remember about Daniel chapter 3, about the three Hebrew boys. It was not about them. It was about God. It was about glorifying God. That's why they refused to bow before the king. And by doing what the king was saying, they would rather go into the fiery furnace, because it was about God. So when trials and temptations come, don't look at you, look at God. It's about glorifying God. God must be ultimate. So when by the act of these brave men, these three brave men, they gave glory to God. You too can give glory to God in your hard times, in a divine perspective. Number two, sometimes they give us some form of discipline for a known sin. Even the children of Israel, when they were in exile, God kept warning them, and they never listened until he let them go into captivity so that they understand what they are doing. So even the Lord disciplines the ones he loves. You can read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. He wants what's best for you, even if you can't see it in that moment. Reason number three, sometimes it is to prevent us from falling from sin. God won't let bad things happen that will ultimately bring a destruction upon us. What does he do? He uses another way to correct us. Corrections and disciplines are very difficult, are very hard. They are like someone who is in a hospital, who is being given medication. Some medication is bitter. Some medication is bitter. Hello?
Yes, I can hear you, Pastor. And indeed, some medication is bitter. So are you saying that we've got to go through this bitterness for training and all of that? Why can't God capacitate sufficiently those he loves so that we don't go through all of this?
No. As long as we are in the world of sin, this is what we expect to go through. We have never been promised a smooth ride on planet Earth. No, we have never, because of sin. There are situations we need to pass through. We need to build our faith. It will never be easy for us. Jesus himself, when he was on planet Earth, what happens? In my walk with the Lord, I have also found out that many of the trials I've gone through were more about changing something in me, changing my attitude, changing my mindset, my belief. Remember, we are human beings on planet Earth. And because we are human beings on planet Earth, so we face these challenges. We face these difficulties. And because of this, life will not be smooth. He has promised to always be with us. We offer the same comfort that we ourselves received from God. He helps us in all our troubles so that we are able to help others. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14. So there is no smooth ride, right, my moderator. There's no smooth ride. Time and again, it has to be us going through tough situations so that our faith is going to be shaped, and then we are going to stand the test of time. I want to tell you this. God loves you He wants us the best for us. All what he requires us to do is to trust in him. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of your greater worth than God, which perishes even through refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. This 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 is referring to the crucibles, is referring to the challenges, the difficulties that we face in. They have been allowed to come so that our faith is proved to be genuine. It has become worth like gold, which has been refined from the dross.
Yeah.
So that when it is refined by fire, it is used for its intention.
Yeah, not easy at all, but hey, but I suppose we've got to just make sure that we stick to God and through all of those refining moments, which are not easy, which are quite painful, we are able to withstand those times with God next to us. Pastor, I must thank you so much for coming through. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Blessings, and we'll speak to you again tomorrow, same time and same place.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.